Father, we are so blessed as a nation, as a people. We forget sometimes the goodness that there is. We see, Father, the negative things, and we look at them, and they're intended to strike fear into our hearts. But you know what, Lord? When we're in Christ Jesus, there is no fear, because the perfect love of God casts out fear. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that we assemble today. And Lord, people are assembling all over this country today, even in places where they have been forbidden to assemble. And Father, we pray for those court cases that are going on now. Father, I pray for that pastor and that came from, I believe it was Romania, along with a whole group of people to escape Ceausescu in the horrible years of persecution. And for them to sit back and just say, to see that pastor there and say, what we saw, we know what this is. We saw it in Romania. We didn't expect it in America, but we will stand here. And Father, I want to thank you for men of faith like him and people that have to walk through and through police blockades literally to get to church because they're trying to stop the church from assembling. And I want to thank you for the boldness of your believers. No fear, no intimidation, but Father, they stand firm in you. And they stand, Father, to praise you, to thank you, and to bless you, and to fight, Father, for freedom, and Father, to fight for those things which you alone grant, for it is you who give us life, it is you who give us freedom, it is you who give us all that we have in this life, and in life eternal. Bless the word today, Father, as it goes forth, as we share, Father, one of the deepest and most important truths in the scripture. One of the greatest blessings that you have given us. Father, may we have a spirit of understanding, a spirit of revelation that comes upon all that hear this word, whatever means they hear it by, that this truth would be imbued in them, that they would, Father, press in to this and receive that great blessing that you have given us. And we ask you, Father, to do this in the name of the one true God, our Father and our Son and the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We have been working through a book, actually, by a fellow by the name of whatever his name is, that's all right. Binding and Loosing. And it's a time when we as a church need to be able to exercise our faith in this particular area, because we can see nations in times past that they are led by demonic spirits, literally. We can see that in Daniel. We can see how all of these nations come together. And I just flips back in my mind that our teachings from the book of Daniel many years ago, and how we see all of these things coming together. And you can see the prophecies, and the prophecies over the years all come to pass. If there was anything to tell you that God's word, that this word is true, it would be the fulfillment of the prophecies just alone, to see the nations rise and the nations fall. And I'm going to tell you something. God is working in history, and he'll continue to do that. And you have to have faith in God, not just for your salvation, but for the purpose for which you were called here on this earth. So talking about binding and loosing, our authority to bind the powers of darkness and loose those who are bound by them comes from Christ and is exercised by faith. So the first thing we ought to recognize is that we need faith in God. And faith in God is available to us. But all people don't have faith in God. Why don't they have faith in God? Because it's God who gives faith. Maybe we need to show up before God. We'll get to that. We read in Matthew, "Whatever you, truly I say to you," Jesus says, "whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." And then verse 19 says this, which I believe is, I'm looking at this, but I'll just read it to you because these three verses are together. "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in your midst." We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." And Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." That means that you didn't earn it or deserve it, but God gave it to you. God gave it to you as a free gift. "By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ." Get that. God took you. Not only did he save you, but we read in Colossians, he transferred you out from under the power of the kingdom of darkness, and then he placed you in the kingdom of his beloved Son. But when he placed you in the kingdom of his beloved Son, he placed you right in his Son in the heavenly places. You are in Christ. You sit with Christ. If you can grasp that, even though you're sitting in a chair out here now, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. It's your place of relationship, your place of authority. And when we spend time in Christ, in prayer and meditation, a remarkable miracle is worked in us as Christ himself is being formed in us. I want you to think about this now. God is doing something. When we spend time with God, God will change us. He will do something in us. And we read here this, like I said, it's Christ is being formed in you. And I want to talk about that because this is the message today, is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a man by the name of, was a man by the name of A.W. Tozier. Some of you have read him. If you haven't, I would advise that if you really want to learn some interesting things, get his books. Read Tozier. I will tell you this, I have had some incredible things that God has done to me. I can still remember many years ago sitting out up in the Lakes region, and I was on vacation with my kids, and that night I just had some time alone, and I got into the gems or with nuggets from Tozier. And as I was reading there, I came across this passage, and Tozier, he didn't mince words. He got right to the point. He was not happy with the church as he saw it in those days. And he said this, "You know, we should be sending out apostles and prophets, but instead we're sending out people to take surveys and plant churches or do things that are just by measurement, by man's will." And he says, "I'll tell you the truth," he said, if God doesn't raise up a people to do his will, God will find another people to do it. And the word of the Lord came to me, and the Lord said to me, "You are these people." This people. Now understand, when this was spoken to me, it was in the time of a tremendous move of God right here in New England. People were being saved literally by the tens and the 20s and the hundreds. It was amazing what we saw going on. All kinds of healings were taking place. It was just a wonderful time. But that was then. And then God said to me, "But you be careful. Because if you don't fulfill my purpose. I will yet raise up another people. And that's where we are today. Some of the same people are here, and yet God is raising up a new people, another people, right now. Some of us will continue on with him and fulfill that purpose that he has for us. But you see, God has always had a purpose for his church. But what's the secret to that? Where's the power in that? Well, it's in this. And this is how Christ in you, the hope of glory, this incomprehensible reality is the biblical foundation upon which Christian completeness rests. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we're going to have those who say, well, Christ is in me. I receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. No. Yes, you did. And yes, he is. But why then does he have to be formed in us? Why is there a greater revelation to this? You see, we should never stay where we are. God always wants to take us to the next place he wants us to be. And here's what Tozer says. He describes Christ in you, the hope of glory, with these words. And I wish, I hope I can do them justice in reading them. And here's what Tozer says. This is God's supreme and final gift. Not the golden streets, not heaven, not even forgiveness of sin. Although these are God's gifts too, such as a king might give to his queen a dozen gifts. And the supreme, final gift worthy of royalty finally comes. Not a dozen, nor two dozen, or a thousand, but countless hundreds of thousands of gifts God lays before his happy people. And then, he bestows this supreme gift. He makes us the repository of the nature and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about what he just said. What he's saying is the greatest gift that you have is that Christ himself has come to dwell in you. But more than that, Christ now dwells in us as he lives through us. But now he grows in us. And as he grows in us, when I say that, it's not that he's getting bigger. It's that the old person is being pushed out. And the character, the divine nature, the very nature of God, which we received in our spirit when we were born again, the very nature of God now begins to permeate our being. Our thinking begins to change. Our words begin to change. Our doing begins to change. Why? Because it is now Christ alive in his people and working through his people. Wherever we go, Christ goes. We read in Galatians today, and Paul says to the Galatians, because he had come and he had a physical problem at that time, and he says, you receive me as if it were Christ himself that you received. And it just, to give you the emphasis on this, it's this welcoming of this, this filling of this, this, how would I say, exchange in us. We so often just race through the Bible. We read things, we pull things out, and that's good. We're gaining knowledge, and knowledge is good, but knowledge by itself puffs up. When we don't have humility, we don't have Christ. Christ, above all people, was filled with humility. He was humble. He was in the form of God. God himself, spirit, just like the Father. The same essence as the Father. And he, for us, emptied himself and then found himself born a man. And imagine that. Christ gave up being in the form of God, all present, all knowing, all powerful, to take on the form of a man. Why? Because he loved us and was willing to die for us so that we could have life. But also in this is this mystery, because as Christ is formed in us, now that mystery hidden for ages becomes a reality, because Christ is now moving out of here, not in one person, but in 100, in 200, in 1,000 in the streets of Chicago, or 3,000 on the beach in California, or 4,000 in Portland that are just, how would I say, God's people coming out, God's people doing what God's called them to do. So that's what Tozer says. Now, Neil Foster, he's the author of Binding and Loosing, by that. Forgive me for missing that up, because I know he was going to quote Neil Anderson. And I said, okay, now, is it, what is it, Anderson? Oh, okay, no, it's Foster. He's the writer of Binding and Loosing. And he references a man by the name of Neil Anderson. How many are familiar with Neil Anderson's ministry? Okay. Kind of interesting. Actually, when he was developing his ministry, I, at the same time, was working on developing a similar ministry, believe it or not, which I had picked up from actually somebody else. And that was learning about who I was in Christ. And this is going back almost 35 years, 40 years. We're looking at this and we're saying, well, wait a minute. The Bible has a lot to say about who I am in Christ. Maybe I ought to find out what that's about. So he goes back and he references Neil Anderson, who as the developer the founder of Freedom in Christ Ministry. And it's a course we've run here on one or two occasions. And we have offered at ACC the In Christ in Preparation. We have another course that we have here. It's not a course. It's a process. What we developed was a process. We went and we looked at the Bible and we said, how does God change people? How does Christ get formed in us? How do we grow in Christ? Do we get it by reading the Bible? Certainly, that's going to help. Is the Bible going to change us? Yes, it will. The Word of God, the Spirit of God will work through the Bible. But can we do this a little bit quicker? Is there a way? There's something that God wants us to know that we didn't know before. And the thing that God really wants us to know is Him. Hello. Really, that's the most important thing. This Bible isn't so we have all of these wonderful stories about things. It's so that we experience it. I remember what this guy, Ben Torres, once said to me many years ago. Two things he said to me, Ron. He says, Ron, he said, one, always remain teachable. That's number one. Don't have an attitude. Remain teachable. Remain humble. You always have to learn. You're never there. You never arrive. Always remain teachable. And the second thing was, he said, take this book. Take the scripture. He said, don't try to take this and form it out into your own understanding. Believe God to bring you into the experience of the Word. Hello. Believe God to bring you into the experience of the Word. Those are the two things. Two things that I have never forgotten. I never will forget, because I'm always learning, I'm always growing, and I want the same for you. I really do, because that's one of the things that you need to do. But as you grow, you go. You follow me? You become a doer of this word that's in here. So we have used those things, and we have 30 years of experience with this. And these processes, therefore, have been tested. They've been proven. The results have established the identity of Christ in believers, or believers have been established in their identity in Christ. They've grown in faith, and many have gained their freedom. And by the way, nobody comes clean to God. Do you know that? You know what I'm saying to you? When we come, we come just, the song says, come as you are, right? Just as you are, you come. And God gets a hold of you. And that's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of an ongoing process until you meet him face to face. It won't end until then. So that's how it works. So consequently, not only do these people get set free, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healed in many cases, but they got changed and many of them were oppressed. You know how you get oppressed? Do you realize that world's out there and the God of this world seeks to oppress you? But what does it say of Jesus? When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he simply said, you heard of Jesus of Nazareth and how he's anointed by the Spirit and how he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Whether he cast out demons or they were healed, or like Mary Magdalene, who was restored somehow as a person to a new person. So I want you to say that. And these people, many of you, and you know who you are, I won't point you out, you have set a lot of other people free too. You've done a good work. You haven't just kept this for yourself and walked in this freedom, but you've shared it. You've helped others, and I praise God. So in the process where believers come before God in faith, this is a process. You come before God in faith and expectation. You experience the faithfulness of God, and you're transformed. That's the work of God. You can't do that. You can read all the self, if the self-help books that clog the shelves in the self-help section, if they worked, everybody would be walking on clouds. It doesn't work. Christ sets us free. It is the Spirit of God that changes us. And sometimes that change is not in your self-will, but is in the process of God working in you and through you. Okay? So let's continue on here. First of all, you need to experience God. That's the most important thing. And you're transformed by the inner workings of God in this impartation of revelation, of faith, whatever it is you need in your life. And as that divine nature indwells you, the old man is expunged, and the new man grows stronger. Embracing your identity in Christ is a process that one undertakes in faith. You can voluntarily enter that process. Nobody can force you. I can't force you. God doesn't force you. He just points the way. He says, come. I've saved you. I'm not done with you, though. I'm glad you're saved. But I got something for you. You're important. I love you, and I have a purpose for your life. So come, let me finish the work in you. Let's keep it going. And that's what he does. So you undertake that process in faith. Since faith is a gift from God, it's important to recognize that the believer makes an effort believing that God is faithful to keep his promise. Why open this book if you don't think God's going to do something for you in it? I mean, I open my Bible. I don't know. Well, let's see what's in the Bible today. No, God, what do you have here today? What's going on today, Jesus? What do you want to talk to me about? That's kind of how I look at this. I always look, what's God's new? God has something new for me every time I open the Bible. It's just amazing. It's incredible. So what we say is this. So faith comes. We read it in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. We're going to go through this again, basic stuff. Faith goes by hearing. What is hearing? It's the act of listening. You know, as age has, you know, been around for some years here and all kinds of things happen, maybe it's loud music, maybe it's loud talking. I don't know what it is, but, you know, sometimes you don't hear things the way they're said. Has that ever happened to any of you? In your, you know, have you ever responded to your husband or your wife, and then they're looking at you like, you know, like, what happened here? What's going on here? What, Where did that come from? Why did they say that to me? Why did they say that nasty thing to me, you know? And what was it? The other night somebody said something I can still remember going down and they said, look at that place there. I wonder what they make over there or why what they have in that factory. And the guy says to me, they make cigars. I said, they make cigars? He said, no. I said, there's a lot of cars. Hello. You know, you just go through stuff, and the next thing you're responding to what's not said, and you're in an argument. Now, you all know what I'm talking about. So faith comes by hearing. What is hearing? It's the act of listening, the bending down of the ear. And that says two things. I'm interested in what you have to say. Could you say that again? I didn't quite hear it. I didn't quite hear it. And that's the whole point about the act of listening. You listen until you hear. Because notice the verse. So faith comes by hearing. And what? Can you read it? What's it say? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing? That's exactly right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Same little Greek word, akoe. And hearing in the innermost being by what? Or actually the word of Christ. Literally, Christ speaks that word into you. So there's times when you want to go to the Bible and you see something, you want to stay there. And maybe it's something that, you need to stay there until you hear. You want to listen until you hear in the innermost being. You see, until you hear inside, it's just words. But once you hear it inside, now there's an impartation of faith, an impartation of revelation in your life. And that makes the difference. That's where the change comes inside of you. Then you have to decide what you're going to do with what God has just put in you. You've got to act on it. And then we look over here in verse 21. Therefore, this is James chapter 1. I want to just explain this to you, very simple. Now he's saying there, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, what kind of word? The what word? Implanted word. Now, what are we talking about here? Just what I'm talking about over there. It has to be a word that is sown in your heart by God. And that's a word that changed you. What does this word do? The imparted word that will do what? Which is able to save your souls. And by the way, in this context, the soul is the whole person. Body, mind, spirit. God will heal. Emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. That's what he's saying. Receive that word. And then Joshua. You know, what's good for Joshua is good for you. Now, in the Old Testament, there's nothing new, much new in the New Testament. Old Testament has much teaching that brings us in. I recommend, if you really want to get into something and study it, the theology of the Older Testament. It's I'm trying to think of the author right now. It should be on the tip of my tongue here. But he is an Old Testament scholar. He's gone. He's passed on to be with the Lord. But what he makes the point is that, wait a minute, you say that's the Old Testament, but there's a theology in the Older Testament upon which the New Testament is built. You understand that? Because the Old Testament foretells about Christ's coming, tells about the Messiah. But we learn about faith. We learn about relationships. We learn about many things in the New Testament, and it goes on. So let me just go on very quickly here. So faith comes by hearing. Now, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That's Joshua 1:8. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So what did he say to Joshua? He said, this book of the law shall not pass away. Clark's commentary had a comment on this particular scripture. It says, though there was a, now he kind of got this messed up, but let's put it this way. Joshua memorized this verse, memorized this book. He was memorizing the word of God. And then what he did is he took that word and he spoke it. And he says, well, he said, you know, just having it written wasn't sufficient is basically what Clark is saying. But he said he was to confess it incessantly, that his way might be made prosperous, that he might have good success. If he kept God's word, he would keep him in body, in soul. If he should observe to do according to that word, then God would cause his way to be prosperous. Those who are obedient to God, this is Clark, lack no manner of thing that is good. That's it. What did the father in Proverbs say? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear. Here we are, bend the ear down. Attention, first place to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Acquire them. Notice you're searching for something here. You're looking for God to do something here. And then he says, and their health. Know what that word health? It's literally the word medicine. They're medicine to all your flesh. He said, God's word is medicine to your flesh. I would take his medicine 3 times a day. And that's a good thing to do. 3 times a day, it really does some good. And I'll say this in summary. There's one thing I've learned on my journey of faith, it's that God's word is true, and God is true to his word. I've learned that. He's watching over his word to perform it, and what was true for Joshua is true for you and I today. Stay with the word. Stay with the word of God. And as you witness in Proverbs, which we just read, 4:20, you can see it in Psalm 1. You can find it in Romans. You can find it in James. Align your confession. Let your words agree with what God says about you. Why listen to the devil and that tells you you're a loser, that tells you you don't measure up, that, you know, just puts things in your head that they shouldn't be there, you know? And all I'm saying to you is align your confession. Agree with God. Say what God says about you. You're not lying. Well, I don't really feel that way. I don't care how you feel. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel. What's your feelings got to do with anything? You need to be a person of faith. Sometimes feelings get you nowhere but in trouble. But faith will always take a hold of God. Faith will always bring you through because God is in that. In other words, your faith is in God and God is bringing you through. So align your confession with expectation in faith. Make the good confession. Meditate on the word you read. Two just questions here, just from Neil Anderson. We have another list that I think are just fine. He has a good list here. But first one is from Matthew 5:13 and 14. What does it say about this? I am the what? Oh, you're the salt of the earth. You feel like salt of the earth? But that's what you are. Confess it. I'm the salt of the earth. Jesus said, I'm the salt of the earth. You are a preserving factor right now in this nation, in this country, in this place where you are salt. You give taste to things. You make it palatable. You preserve things. That's what salt does. And guess what? You're light. What does it say here? You are a light of the world. And don't hide your light. Don't just go and hang out just simply here on a Sunday morning. Let that light shine with other people. Take it outside. It's a time the church has got to get out here, just start meeting some needs and being with people and doing what the right thing is to do. And I'm going to just skip over the third one, which talks about you being a branch in the true vine. You are. Let God clean that branch. Let the Father prune you. And you know what the Father does in the pruning? I just want to say this about the vine dresser. If you know anything about vines, you know you have this great thing that you're doing. And you bear fruit. And you say, look, I'm a branch. But if that branch isn't pruned back in the fall, spring, if it's not pruned back, it won't produce good grapes. So the Father comes along, and the one thing he does, as Andrew Murray put it this way, it seems that he wants to cut me back as close to the vine as he can. Why? Because the Christ that died for you on Calvary once for your sins and your redemption lives to give you life each and every day, and for you to bear fruit through him every day. It is amazing. It's just amazing. So do it. So finally, in closing down today, let me close with two scriptures here and say that our goal is to be complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27 says this, to them God willed to make known whether the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ, complete in him, in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor. That's what we could do, laboring, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And then finally, in this closing verse, Colossians 2:9. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against you, which was the law, contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And that includes all of the sins that the devil might want to bring up. They're gone. Having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them. So what's this all about? Why would our author, why would he suddenly switch, as we're looking at binding and loosing, to this in Christ thing? Because he knows you need that if you're going to do what God called you to do. You need all the Christ in you that you can get, and then some. But the point is, you are in Christ. You bind and loose in Christ. There's a connection between you and heaven. And it's important that you, as a believer, submit yourself to God and say, here I am, Lord. I want to be used by you. But then take the action. Get into the Word. Meditate in the Word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse, chapter 1 and verse 19, where it talks about how revelation comes. Do that. Don't just look at it and read it and say, oh, it says this, says that. Hey, it says that so that you could do it. It doesn't say that so you can say, oh, it says that. You know, I'm going to put it up on the wall. It's good. Well, if you put it up on the wall and you just leave it there, it's no good. But if you meditate on it day and night, if you talk to God about it, if you personalize the scripture, if you let that happen, then God will work his life into your life. And the only thing that can happen to you is you're going to have a better life. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen.